Today's Meet the Candidates begins in House District 25, where Republican House Speaker Cameron Sexton is up against Wesley Adkins, the Democratic challenger.
Thank you for having us, Larry. I appreciate it.
So many people say, I would never do this. I can't imagine how many times you've heard that as you've been on the election trail. So why did you do it?
You know, I was really inspired by some conversations that I had with people that were ready to see a little something different and see some good progress be made here locally as well as in Nashville. So with some encouragement, we decided to do the unthinkable and take the plunge.
You have been involved in various ways in the community. Is that a calling that started early in your life?
It did. So my grandparents and parents have always been local to the area, and that was something they really instilled in us, was to be able to give back and participate in the community. So they helped sow those seeds early on, and we just kind of continued in it.
Overall, as you see the role of a legislator, how would you describe it?
I think that the role of a legislator should listen to their constituents and really try to focus on those issues that are making an impact for the residents that they're elected to serve. I think a lot of things we get kind of carried away with the, you know, sensationalized part of it. But really, I think people are looking for, like I said, those things that make an impact on their everyday life and, you know, being able to afford their groceries and their child care and those sort of things. So
it's interesting because there's a lot of talk in Nashville, it seems, over the last couple of legislative sessions of, you know, we got to get Washington out of our business in Nashville. And yet, you hear from local folks, well, you know, maybe we need to get Nashville out of our business and let us do things. How do you come down on that issue?
I think there's definitely a line for it, right? So you've got to be somewhat agreeable, you know, because we have to have those state funds to help do some of the things that we're doing here locally. But it is a funny argument that I've heard from people, right? You know, we want smaller government to a certain extent, but only on those issues that we feel that are appropriate to it. I do. I think it has to be a partnership. And I think it can be an effective one, again, if we're looking at the issues that really make an impact for people and not worrying about those crazy, you know, sensationalized sort of stories. So
you go door to door, you are at various community events and that sort of thing, asking people to vote. What are you hearing over and over from people?
Hearing a lot from people about, you know, they love it here. They've either been a lifelong resident, they're a transplant, and they love the area. They're really the biggest concern is the affordability part of it. A lot of people, that's why they've stayed or that's why they've moved here, and they're continuing to see that trend. And as we speak with them and kind of talk with them about what we saw in the last legislative session and some of the policies that we passed, you know, people are shocked to surprise some of the actions that were taken in Nashville to, you know, help give some refunds and big business breaks and stuff like that. And again, you know, people are having to decide whether or not they're going to pay for their grocery bill or, you know, their internet bill. But in the meantime, we're refunding big checks to these others. So that seems to be the biggest issue that's really hit home with people, is, you know, being able to stay where they want to live.
Yeah, and it, you know, the state has weathered, I don't know what you call this, let's just call it an economic situation that we've been through the last several years. Tennessee has been able to weather it, but at the same time, we hear a lot on the news side of this, Wesley, that there's growing concern among the rural counties that, for example, the whole education and the TISA formula, you know, when is the state going to ask the counties to step in and start paying more of their share of this? And can the smaller counties do that? How are the smaller counties, the rural counties, which we have several here in the Upper Cumberland, how are they going to pay for capital needs that many of their schools need? Those are just a couple of examples that we're hearing.
That's exactly right. I mean, people, you know, a strong education should really be the cornerstone of your community. And people are concerned. They, you know, they want their kid to be able to have the best opportunity. But again, you know, if they if they can't afford to foot the bill, then, you know, where does that leave them at? So it's definitely been hot for them.
Where do you stand on the voucher idea?
I think that, you know, if you're not happy with the public education system and you want to do a private education for your child, that's your prerogative. I think that's great. I don't like the structure of it taken away from the county funding. I think that's, you know, like you mentioned with the TESA funding and everything else. So I think that's going to create a big sticky issue when it comes to being able to pay our teachers and our teachers' assistants and making sure they've got the supplies and the things that they need to be efficient in their classroom. So,
Wesley Adkins is a candidate in Tennessee House District 25. Growing concern about mental health issues, and which is a good thing that people are talking about it more, but there almost a feeling, Wesley, of we don't know what to do. We've got these issues. We've got people that we know have mental health issues, and yet where do you go to solve those? Where are there facilities available to put people who really need to be on medications, to need to be watched? Do you have any answers? Are you hearing that from people as you visit with them?
You know, not as much. I don't think it impacts us as much just being in a more rural area for our district. Not to say that there's not a need for it, obviously, statewide. But for the conversations that we've had, and it hasn't been as prevalent. But again, it's part of that funding structure, you know, that the frustration we're getting from people is, you know, we're seeing that we're in great economic shape, that, you know, we have the resources to achieve some of these things that we should be able to do, and yet we're stagnant on that as far as getting some of that passed.
How concerned are people with growth and making sure that, you know, how many times do you hear, we don't want to be Murfreesboro? Murfreesboro, I mean, they get ridiculed all the time for that. We don't want to be that. But growth is good until it's not.
And I think for people, you know, everybody's been really welcoming as far as that goes. Again, it's that affordability piece of it. You know, in addition to this, my regular full-time job is a real estate agent. And I work with a lot of local people that, you know, have lived here in the Upper Cumberland, grown up here, and they're being forced out of the areas that they've been in to look in even a more rural area. Simply because they can't afford it, you know, based on the growth that we've seen. So that is definitely an issue for people, especially, like I said, the ones that have lived here their whole life and they want to continue to live here. They're kind of getting pushed out to the edge from that. So is there a great answer for it? No, right? Because we definitely want people to come here. You know, the secret's out that Tennessee's great, and we appreciate that. But I think there's an option for them to do that and still maintain that kind of charm that we've got in Tennessee. Again, if we can work together to achieve that.
And it's an interesting perspective you bring. Putnam County has always seemed to have a higher percentage of rentals versus home ownership than is traditional in a county this size. But at the same time, you hear more and more people saying that you just can't afford to live in Putnam County, and so you're having to move to White County or to Overton County, which is good for those communities, obviously. But at some point, do we have to address some of the root causes?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, again, you don't want to regulate people to the point that, you know, they can't make their living and be successful in whatever their venture is. But at the same time, you know, you want your community, you want your people here. That's what helps make it up. So if we keep driving them out, then it's great for some of the other ones. But we lose those people to Jackson and White and Overton and some of those other places. So it's a double edge.
Another part of growth is obviously infrastructure. It feels like the state has poured a lot of money into things like broadband, like water and sewer expansion. Is even more going to be needed as we continue to grow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the conversations we've had with people, and again, for the rural side, you know, it's not as heavy as an impact, but they're seeing some of these good things we're doing with infrastructure. But people have been shocked to understand what they're proposing as far as some of these choice lanes with the roads. You know, they're thinking, you know, we pay tax, so, you know, we have our gas tax that's supposed to help maintain our roads, and yet you know, we're going to build new roads, and then we have to pay to drive on them again. So I think that's been for us, that's been popular with people, just like I said, because they haven't been aware of it. It's not something they deal with every day, but once it's brought to their attention, they're shocked and surprised. They're like, well, I don't understand why Tennessee would do that. Again, it's part of that being able to work together for the best solution that benefits everybody that lives here and not just a few.
Wesley Adkins, candidate in Tennessee House District 25, as we head to the polls. We continue our conversations with the candidates for office as Election Day approaches. Scott Bean is running as an independent candidate for the Tennessee State Senate, District 16. Scott, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
A lot of people can't imagine the difficulty of running as an independent. Do you see it that way? Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go in that direction?
I'll be honest with you. I kind of grew up independent. My mother is devout Republican. My father is devout Democrat. So I was probably bound to fall somewhere between. I think from the people I've talked to in the six counties that I cover in District 16, a lot of people are fatigued and a little bit exhausted with the political, I think the rhetoric, the theatrics of it. I think a lot of people don't take the time to learn their state level candidates. In my district, I've pulled numbers and reports, and I'm sure it's the same in your area up there. When we vote or when we go vote in local elections, they are usually independents because you know the people or you have a connection with them. Usually carry 7 to 10 votes independent. So I just try to encourage people to get out and learn more about their candidate. I wanted to run as an independent because I wanted to run this race on me. A lot of candidates will latch onto a party label and let it just pull them through. And you may or may not know what you're getting. So I'm just here to try to be a voice of rationale and reason and something different for people to make the next generation of leadership.
I'm curious, when you talk about rhetoric, because most people immediately say, okay, Washington, I get it. But in the last couple of sessions, there has been increasingly those kind of theatrics in the state legislature in Nashville. Have you heard that same kind of disappointment at some of that's going on?
I have from the last three events that I've spoken to people with, some people are disappointed that stuff has trickled down to the state level. We've had some things that have popped up, different pieces of legislation that sometimes people just scratch their head about.
Was there an issue? Was there an area of concern that maybe led you down this road to run?
One thing, the main reason that I think I wanted to run, I actually just turned 52 years old the first of this week. And I think it's time for my generation to basically, I'm a football guy, so put our cleats in the ground and start getting involved. We've had leadership in Nashville, and we still do, that have done, you know, a good job, but it's time for the next generation. I hope people understand that just sitting by and doing nothing, you're not helping anyone. I'm just here to help people and hopefully set some term limits, get some things moving in a different course. And hopefully, you know, if I'm lucky enough to win this thing and few years, hopefully I can have someone I can mentor that will pick this up when I'm in my 60s and I'll step away.
Scott Bean is a candidate, independent, for the Tennessee State Senate District 16. As you have talked to people, as it relates to state issues, what are some of the things that they're talking about, that they're concerned about?
The term limits thing is probably the first question I get. We have some officials that have been in office since the late 70s. It's something that we need to address, and a lot of it is because people don't run and they don't get involved. So I'm just here to be a public servant.
Let me ask you about education, because that seems to be a hot button issue in the state. Are you hearing a bunch about that?
Mm-hmm. I am, yes, sir. And that is something that's high on a lot of. I have a lot of friends that are teachers. I've spoken with about 9 or 10 different principals, 3 or 4 school directors, and they're really concerned about the state wanting to privatize education in Tennessee. I'm not a fan of the voucher, the way that I've read it. There's a lot of things that could be a lot better. I'm not saying education needs to just run as it is. There's a lot of places we can reform that. I think a lot of the TCAP testing needs to be readdressed. I think a lot of education concerns need to be addressed by people from Tennessee. We don't need out-of-state influence to come into Tennessee and tell us what we need to do.
Growth is something that our entire state is dealing with. Obviously, if you drive to Nashville, it doesn't take long to see that. But the Upper Cumberland is growing exponentially every day. How can the state help with things like infrastructure, not just roads, but other forms of infrastructure, to make sure that we're growing at a pace that we all can deal with it?
That's a great question. And those are answers we have to figure out, and hopefully I can help with that when I get in. You're never going to stop progress, but we still have to preserve what we consider a Tennessee way of life. I live down in the southern part of the state, next to Alabama. We have a big influence from Huntsville, which has trickled into the southern part of the state. Last report I read, by 2027, Tennessee set to lose 2 million acres of farmland. My suggestion, and something I would want to work on with other people, is to redevelop areas of what we would call brown areas. Instead of taking farmland and green areas, let's redevelop some areas that already has existing infrastructure. So it will help slow the pace of new growth by redeveloping areas that we can use again.
A lot of talk right now about health care, and more specifically, mental health care, as our state deals with the issues of homelessness, the issues of drug abuse. Is there more the state can do to better help Tennesseans with mental health?
I believe so. There's always more we can do. You will never do enough to help people that can't help themselves, and make sure they're taken care of. And just to spin off of that question, I get asked a lot about our level of suicide and self-harm rates in this district. District 16 has 4 counties that are in the top 10 for suicide and self-harm rates. And that's really unacceptable. We have to do more. We have to do more studies. We have to start earlier in the livelihood and the life cycle of our youth,
and help them find ways to cope or deal with the issues they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Scott, if someone is walking into that ballot booth here in a couple of days and casting a ballot, why would you say they should vote for you?
It's time for a change. I know we say that and we hear that a lot. What people need to understand is voting for an independent, it doesn't mean you're voting for a Democrat. It doesn't mean you're voting against a Republican. I'm just asking people to take 2 minutes to take a party hat off and say, you know, let's give it a chance. What's it going to hurt? We've seen what we've seen forever. The state's never had in my district, the state's never had an independent state senator. I've taken $0 from PACs, lobbyists, special interest groups. So come November the 6th, I won't owe anybody any favors. I'm just here to help people. I think politicians get into a rut of telling people what they need to do when I'm here just to listen. I was asked yesterday, was I willing to work across the aisle? And I'm not working across the aisle. I'm the aisle. Let both parties come to me if they want something that they know they need to get done. There's both parties come up with bills for legislation sometimes that just by party spite lines, the other won't agree. So let's find that common ground and get things moving and let's get things headed in a direction of what's best for Tennesseans.
Scott Bean, independent candidate for Tennessee State Senate District 16, as we head to the polls. Scott, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, and I appreciate your vote.
A total of 6 candidates looking for votes in the election for Crossville City Council. Meet the Candidates continues, introducing you to the various candidates for that office, including Danny Wyatt, who is running. Danny, thanks for spending some time with us.
Larry, thank you very much.
What led you to make that decision to, as they used to say, throw your hat in the ring?
Well, Larry, I was on the council 2010 for 8 years for 2 terms, and I've had a lot of people call. I sold my businesses a couple of years ago and was enjoying life, and I've had a couple of people call, wanting several people, as a matter of fact, but a couple of real close friends, and said our current council is spending too much money and I need a little help, slow down on some spending. And so I felt the same way. So I'm there to try to work within a conservative budget and common sense values, and going to do the best I can do to cooperate with everybody and make it work.
What did you learn? I'm sure we could talk for hours about this, but what's the biggest takeaway that you learned during your 8 years serving on the council?
Well, government turns slow. you want to get things done for people, and it's a slow process, but it's good, and we've got some great guys on the council. I just think that there is who knows what's over the horizon. We could be into a major war. We could be into a pandemic, or we could be into a recession. So therefore, I think you need to keep yourself in shape to prepare for those kinds of things. And so that's why I'm running this time. We're doing a big project a big rec center that they're partnering with the Cobo YMCA. And I think that I'm not opposed to it. I just want somebody to let me know how we're going to pay for it.
So it's not the concept in this particular issue that you're against. It's just making sure that the money's there to pay for it.
Exactly, for the next 30 years. And it's probably going to end up, they're calling it $40 million, but it's probably going to, they've already spent $5 on the property and preliminaries, so it's probably going to be $45 to $50 million. And where I came from, that's quite a bit of money.
I'm curious, because you've been there. How do you try to communicate things like that effectively to make sure that people get the message? Because I'm sure there were situations in your time as a council member where you feel like you've talked about something and you've talked about it and you've talked about it, and then somebody pops up and says, "This is the first I've heard of this." How do you try to do that and make sure people know what's going on?
That's tough. It's I've been out and talked to as many people as I can in the last couple of months, and still got a couple of weeks to finish up. I'm a little bit behind. Three or four weeks ago, I must have knocked on the wrong door and ended up with COVID. So that put me behind about 10 days. So I like about two hard weeks of getting out seeing people. But people, it'll surprise you that people that don't know what has went on here, and it's sort of been, I won't say not transparent necessarily, but it's not. Our charter calls for a provision where that in a situation like this with bond issues, the people can ask for a referendum, and it was never offered because they went another route by appointing a sports authority and issuing the bonds through the sports authority, which got changed by state law in 1993 when they were trying to bring the Titans to Nashville. And therefore, it was really a lot of the people feel like that their voice got silenced.
How do you try to work with other people in terms of those who believe the same way you do, those who don't? You got to have that, don't you, to have an effective council?
You got to have it. You know, we had a forum Thursday night, and that was one of the questions on a minority vote. How do you go forward with that? And what you have to do is just suck it up, and you have to try to make lemonades out of lemons and do the best you can do with it. So that's the position we're in on this thing. And it's, you know, hopefully it works. It's a lot of money that without any income. And hopefully we can make this happen if it happens, without a large tax increase, property tax increase.
Danny White is one of the candidates for Crossville City Council. The entire Upper Cumberland is in a growth spurt that has managed to continue despite the economic conditions of the last 2 years. Danny, how is Crossville overall, in your opinion, doing with the growth?
We've been great. We've got a lot of influx of people coming in and buying new homes and from other parts of the country, and I'm sure Cookeville is. But we've got our share of them. And one thing I'd like to get started back, we were big in the sports, softball, baseball, golf, soccer, tournament business, and we've sort of got away from that the last few years. And I'd like to get back into that business because it brings in a lot of folks during the spring, summer, and fall, and even winter, and they have to pay your bills.
How is Crossville keeping up with infrastructure issues as it relates to growth? Not just roads, but things like water and sewer.
We're doing okay. We've got to really address our sewer and our water situation over the next few years. We're trying to get permitted to raise our main lake that we process from. And so those are two things, as most cities are behind a little bit on infrastructure. We've got a lot of construction going on sidewalks and roads now that will make things better, but we're a little bit behind on our water and sewer issue.
Crossville has the position of industry locating there, everything from Whisper Aero to Tennessee Tech, increasing its presence in Crossville to the auto facility that's going to be built outside of town, but still going to affect Crossville. All of that good news as you look at it?
It is. There's no question about it, and we appreciate those We have a minimum workforce that's tough. Of course, we draw a lot of people from surrounding counties, such as Putnam County and Ventris and Morgan and Wray County that come into Crossville and work, and that's a good thing. So that's a good thing for everybody.
Finally, Danny, as people head to the polls and they cast their ballot for members of the city council, why should they cast one of them for you?
I'm going to try to bring common sense and conservative values to the council as I did in the past, and I'd like to ask for vote and support and love Crossville, love the Cookeville area, the Upper Cumberland area, whole Upper Cumberland area. So if we work together, I think that it can be better for everybody.
Danny Wyatt asking for your vote as you head to the polls. Danny, thanks for serving and thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Larry.
The candidates for local office as we head to the polls here in just a few days. Benny Taylor is a candidate in Tennessee State House District 42, running on the Democratic side, joins us now as our Meet the Candidates guest. Benny, thanks for the time.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Why did you make the decision to run?
I decided to run because I really wanted to help people face less unnecessary barriers to essential resources they needed just to live and survive. And in order to do that, a lot of things really need to change. And the best way to create like a long-lasting and substantial change is to make sure that people who have the needs of everyone in the forefront of their mind are the ones that are in place to make these policies and laws.
Was there an event? Was there something that you saw? Was there anything in particular that kind of led you down this road, or was it kind of a culmination of things?
It was definitely a combination of all of those, but I did go to the Capitol a lot this year to speak to representatives about the laws that were being passed, on positive and negative ones. And one that really stood out to me was the bill to arm teachers. And it was painful to see all of these young people and all these parents there begging for this bill to not pass and it being passed anyway.
When you talked to the representatives about that particular bill, why did they say that they wanted to move forward?
They said that their constituents wanted it, even though as constituents, we were there saying that we did not.
What do you believe the role is of a legislator in trying to affect change from Nashville?
I believe that the role is to make sure that the needs of everyone is met and that everybody on both sides are being heard, and that their needs are being taken into account whenever these new policies and laws are being written.
There's a lot of discussion right now about the involvement of Washington in politics, but when you talk to local officials, there's a lot of concern about the amount of amount that Nashville is involved in local decisions. Do you believe decisions about education, about property taxes, about these other things, are they better made in Nashville or better made in the hometowns across the Upper Cumberland?
Well, I think if they are going to be made in Nashville, then each place that is being affected by these laws needs to be taken into account individually, because not all laws are going to affect people the same way across Tennessee.
Explain your background a little bit.
So, in fairness to the community, yes. I honestly never saw myself as a politician when I was younger. I currently am a community organizer. I've always done a lot of volunteer work. I've always worked for nonprofits. And that's kind of where my heart always was, which is how I ended up inadvertently getting involved in these things, because I saw a lot of discussions and I was involved with people hands-on with what they were going through. And that is where I always saw myself until I realized that right now it was a time for me to kind of step into the political arena and give people the opportunity to have a safe space to share their narratives about how they're being affected by things.
Nonprofits almost give you a firsthand glance of things that you may not understand, don't they?
Yeah, very much so. You see a lot of things that a lot of people don't really necessarily realize is going on. And sometimes you're working with the people that really have the most needs, and you realize that those things aren't being addressed.
Benny Taylor is a candidate in Tennessee State House District 42 as we head to the polls. I'm curious about what you hear from people, those that you talk to as you go door to door, as you go to different events and talk to people. What are the things that they're talking about that will help them make a decision in this particular election?
The thing I hear people speak about the most is the issue with finding affordable housing and the issue with finding quality, affordable health care. Those things are really important to me as a single parent with two children, and they're a thing that our community is really needing right now and needing resources for.
Is that something the legislature can help with in your mind?
Yes, definitely. The legislature really has all of the power, even to enact laws that could stop developers from pricing too much for new units that they're building.
Education has certainly been a top priority in recent years. The state has put some money where its mouth is with the TESA funding, but there's continued concern about the school voucher idea. How do you fall in that area?
I am very much against school vouchers. Both of my children actually have special needs, and they get great education from the special education department in the Putnam County school system. And the voucher program would really gut funding that goes into our public education system. And the children that would really suffer from it the most would be the ones that need special education services, because that's not included in the voucher program. Those kids would still be going to public education, and then there would be less funding for the things that they need.
How do you feel the state is doing in higher education? And by that, I not mean just not the universities like Tennessee Tech, but also the work that's going on with TCATS, with community colleges. Are we fulfilling the needs of the state in those areas?
I actually graduated from a vocational school. I'm a certified surgical tech. So that's something I'm very passionate about, because I feel that having the opportunity to have an affordable career or affordable way to get a future career is very, very important, because not everybody can afford to go to a university. And so I think that having places like TCAT and other vocational schools is great, but I do think we could be encouraging people to go to them more and teaching people that that is a future for them.
It seems like the pendulum has swung from the idea that everybody has to go to college to be successful, and the money that's being put into the TCATs to the community colleges could help with that.
Definitely. For me, that's a way that I created stability for me and my children. When I became a single parent to two kids, it was a really good decision that I made for myself.
Benny, the issue of mental health. We focus so much about physical health, which is important, but there increasingly are calls for the state to do more as it relates to mental health. Is that something you see as an issue that needs to be addressed?
100%. We have such a hard battle to fight right now with trying to get people in a position where they are able to even get therapists, because our resources are so limited when it comes to therapists, but then the opportunity to afford one is very hard. Expanding Medicaid could help with that, but also private insurances alone just have such extremely high deductibles that it stops people from reaching out when they need help for things like that, because they see it as something that is only a commodity to people who are more wealthy, when really people should not have barriers to reach out for the help they need.
There's also a feeling that perhaps there needs to be more involvement from the state in people who have long-term serious mental health conditions, that maybe we're not doing those people a service by allowing them to be homeless, to help them get the medication, to get the therapy that they need. How do you come down on that?
I actually am very passionate about that. I went to Coeur d'Alene Hall this past year to try and help enact bills that made it so that there was less barriers for people in rural areas to be able to get their medications from pharmacies, since we do have more limited hours and stuff here. And medications are very expensive, and a lot of people are having to choose between being able to pay for the medications or being able to afford the bills. And not only that, but it's, can they afford to see a therapist and see a psychiatrist who will, you know, prescribe them the medication that they need? We really need to create resources that not only help people when they hit a rock bottom point or when they're at their worst, but also resources that help people sustain a quality of life across the board and throughout their life. So we don't have to take the hardest steps when things are at their hardest, but we are already preparing for things, and we are, and there's things to help people ensure that they get the quality care that they need. I think mental health care is something that should be up there with physical health care. I think, honestly, I think mental health care should be free and accessible to everybody.
Benny Taylor, one of those asking for your vote as you head to the polls, candidate in Tennessee State House District 42. Benny, thanks for giving us the chance to get to know you.
No, thank you very much for having me on today.
The countdown is on to Election Day 2024. We'll have live coverage of all the returns Tuesday night on News Talk 94.1 and across our Stonecom stations. Don't forget Tennessee House of Representatives race in District 38. Kelly Kiesling is the Republican incumbent running in that race, facing off against Alexander Armour, the independent. Again, that's in District 38, the Tennessee House of Representatives.